More? Do I want too much? What is love? Also, you have such a pretty cock, and it's like, you know, we don't tell men this enough, you know? Like, they have body image issues too.
Cheese and tomato.
Yeah.
Smoked salmon and cream cheese.
Okay.
Egg and cress.
Yeah.
Plowman's.
Mm.
Tuna mayo.
Mm-hmm.
BLT.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben.
Mm. Bagel.
Is a bagel a sandwich?
Well, it's carb-filling carb.
Well, if you say that, then a croque monsieur could be a sandwich.
Yeah, a croque monsieur is a sandwich.
How dare you?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus series Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
In this episode, we're covering Season 1, Episode 2, Magic Bullets, written by Emma Moran and directed by Toby McDonald.
So, this was an episode. I thought there were some definite, you know, positives to it, and I, on some of my points, I'll bring up. We kind of learn a little bit more about the world around us and all that. I enjoyed it, although I like watched it, and then on my like I tried watching it for the second time, the next night, and then I was just like, I really can't do this right now.
Mm. Sometimes you're just not in the right headspace.
Maybe that's what it was. I mean, and then when I watched it like 3 or 4 days later, I was totally fine to like do notes and all that. But I was just like at that moment, I was just like, I can't watch her be in this trunk and texting Luke. I just can't do it. the cringe really got to me one day after.
Yeah. That Luke voicemail is epic. It of course reminds me of the scene in Swingers when
John Favreau
leaves all those voicemails in a row for what's her name's character, and scares the hell out of her. I have a policy that if I am not completely sober, I sort of check in with myself. And sometimes I establish that it's a do not send time, and I'm not allowed to send anything anywhere.
Email. Like, you should be able to block yourself texting on your phone.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, I'm past my 3 drinks. Turn off texting. Or have, like, a friend, you know, be like, hey, you know, I need you to log in for me or whatever. That'd be a nice power to have. Hey, once you've had 3 drinks, you can't text anymore. You can't use technology.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Although you wouldn't be able to Uber, which would be difficult. But I mean, hey, flying Ubers, right? So maybe not technological.
Yeah. There's always anyway. Old-fashioned taxis. You can just phone one. Yeah.
That's true. With the pay phones that are in all places?
Oh, yeah. There's so many of them.
All right. Do we have any announcements?
No announcements.
There's not. I mean, given that they'd released it all, like I feel like it was like I feel like the show is kind of just getting dropped, and it sucks. I'm glad they're renewed for season 2, but
yeah,
it just feels like they're not getting much play. And
it is getting some great reviews, but because of how it dropped all at once, I couldn't put anything in the news this week because. All of the news stories, I would start to read it and then be like, whoops, spoilers, and have to stop. So also, right. It's really, really hard to Google extraordinary because that word is used for so many things. And it's also been already the name of like movies and TV shows. So you have to be like extraordinary TV show 2023 news. And, you know, eventually you get there, but. Then when I got there, it was like all spoilery, so it just wasn't worth it.
Well, we will go ahead and not spoil this. move on to the summary of the episode. So Jen, Carrie, and Cash embark on a mission to do it yourself finding of Jen's power. Also, Gizlord reveals his true nature. It's a good summary, but I feel like just so much more happened.
Yeah.
I get it that those are like that kind of the overarching ideas, but man, there's just so much goodness behind this episode.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun.
How did you feel about this episode?
I really enjoyed it when I was watching it, but when I went to try to like sort of organize my thoughts about it, I just came up with like a list of details and I had a hard time like forming them into topics of discussion. I eventually sort of got there, but I'm hoping that you have better organization than I do and I can just feed off of you a little bit.
I will tell you, I ran into kind of the same thing. I found funny like things that happened in the episode, but not like, well, I mean, and like I said, I'll talk about it, but so I did kind of like be like, okay, this is a point and this is a point, this is the point, but some of it's also going to be similar to last week where stuff I just want to talk about.
Yeah, which is fine.
What's your humiliation of the week?
I think it would be too easy to say the voicemail. And we're going to talk about the voicemail, but I think it's when she's in the convenience store and she has already run into Luke and then she she ducks down the aisle to drink her milk and the clerk goes on the PA and he's like, sweaty young lady, you have to buy the milk before you drink it. And Luke is standing right there and she's like on the security camera. Oh, it was just such a great moment. And then this song started right after that was like, does my confidence look good or something like that? And I could not find the song anywhere. I think it might have just been...
Does confidence look good on me?
Yeah.
Does confidence look good on me? Yeah. No, yeah. I thought it was a well-matched song, but I didn't go Google it. I actually, I noticed a couple of songs, but besides Whip It and the confidence one, those are the only two that I was like, hey, I need to go, you know, figure out what this is. So mine is going to be the voicemail, but it's not the giving of the voicemail. It's the announcing that your fuck buddy has a very pretty cock to,
to your family.
Entire family. both times I was laughing so hard.
Oh God, so embarrassing.
Right. I mean, and like the look on her face and everybody's face was so good.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was absolutely my like that as hard as the voicemail was to listen to, watching that again made me laugh hysterically twice.
Yeah, it really was a humiliating moment because everyone who's important to her was in that car.
But what's funny about that is that she's almost immediately okay, right? She's almost immediately like, and like, you know, Andy gives her, I don't know why I keep calling her Alex. Andy gives her the idea to, you know, bomb him with more stuff. And
she's I don't like, know why she thought well, that how, would work.
How do I distract him? And I think even I know you should send him a dirty picture.
There was no way that was going to keep him from listening to the voicemail. It's like two different things. He got the pictures and he was like, yeah, naked pictures. And then he's like, they weren't that naked,
it's not like he got woofed, right?
Yeah.
From the office where he has 9 different things notifying him of whatever. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, it's voicemails or texts. You look at text, especially nudie text, and you're like, nice. Oh, what's this voicemail? Well, there's a voicemail thing here. All right, I'll listen to that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a not really good idea, even if she thought it was. Just an excuse to humiliate her more, I guess.
Yeah. Let's talk about the voicemail. It's one of my points, and let's just go.
Okay,
there.
Yeah, let's start with it.
My favorite part of the voicemail was probably, I want to know you. Like, I want to know your security questions.
Yeah.
What street did you grow up on? What are the names of your dead pets?
do I even know your last name? What is your last name?
It was such a 2023 thing to say, like, I want to know your security questions. It's so specific to the time we live in now. And you know, her whole performance in the trunk was really funny. Like, she went from happily drugged to panicking, and she really sold both of those things.
Get me the fuck out of this boot. What are you doing?
Yeah, or when Carrie was like, send me a pin with your location, and she kept sending her a picture of, like, some
Philip
dude.
Schofield, yeah.
Yeah.
And Carrie's response to that made me laugh, but
yeah,
it was, oh, let me try. Oh, what, did it work? You send me a picture of Philip Schofield. Let me see. How about now? It's the same picture of Philip Schofield. Well, I don't know what you want me to do then. Just send me a pen so I can come and find you. I mean, what's funny about that is, like, Jen's not like, what do you mean? Am I not in a trunk somewhere? Like,
yeah,
I don't really care. The visual of her before she got in the trunk, of her just laying on the ground.
Yeah.
You know who's underrated? Simon and Garfunkel. They're just two lovely boys. That is very, very much volumed up. Oh, and I thought it was great.
And when Carrie yelled at her, like, just send me a pen so I can rescue you, she's like, ooh, I'm in trouble.
I'm in trouble. Yeah. Oh my God. It was so funny.
I love Jen so much. I just really identify with her.
Yeah, so with regard to the voicemail, like, we got some information about Jen and like her relationship with Luke. Like, there's a ton of red flags, right? So
yeah,
you don't ever take me on outside dates. Red flag. You don't ever introduce me to your friends. Red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. A pretty cock goes a long way, but I mean, you gotta start, like, picking up the signals.
Yeah. I mean, this is where her youth comes in, right? Like, she's just,
right.
She's really young, and, you know, we don't know about any past relationship she's had, but she's clearly not confident enough to say those red flags mean I should leave, right? She's like, maybe I can win him over. It's like, no, you can't. Like, that guy doesn't want to be won over. He likes being a player. He's having a good time.
Yeah, he's enjoying himself. What did you say last week? Until he's 33.
Yeah.
And then it will all start to go away.
Yeah. It's been my experience with young men of that variety that around 32, 33, they're like, now I want to get married. And it's just like whichever woman they happen to be with at that point.
Right. That is definitely unfortunate. Like, that, because, I mean, you had, there are so many good possibilities earlier in life. But anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless. All right. So the voicemail. Let me see. Was there something else with regard to the voicemail? I only had a couple of notes on that. But the red flags is one that I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Really big red flags. I enjoyed the voicemail for the fact that it was just so bad.
Yeah, I felt like the second time I was watching it, when I got to the point, I was like, I know what's coming, and I just don't want to face it. Like, I don't want to feel embarrassed at the moment.
Yeah, it's humiliating.
I'm on humiliation overload at this particular point, and I just don't want to do it.
I love that Luke took it in stride, though, because he really does not give a shit. So he's
thanks
for the pics. Weird voicemail, though, LOL. Like, he doesn't even overreact to it. He doesn't anything. He's like, whatever.
Jen is literally not even a blip on his radar.
Yeah.
It's somebody to show up to her place and have sex with. Yeah. Period.
That's it. And if she goes away, that's fine.
He'll just whatever.
Have sex with someone else. It's fine. He's probably got like, I don't know, 5 or 6 booty calls that right. he rotates among.
Yeah, they. I mean, just get away. Get away. Please, Jen. Please go find someone who actually wants to, and maybe the person who wants to have you in their life, maybe just popped up this episode. Possibly. I have no idea.
Hopefully he has a real name.
Yeah.
That is not Jizzlord, because those wedding invitations would look really weird.
I mean, like, that's so funny. All right, so my first point is going to be the continuation of the world building and some of the history that we've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were watching the episode, like this episode for the first time after we recorded last week, in the middle of it, I texted you and when Angela was telling her story, and it was like, wait a minute, Angela didn't get her power till in her 50s because she said, just picture this, I come home early from the wholesalers in somewhere, and my husband of 30 years giving it to Raquel, and then I'm screaming, she's screaming, and they both look at me like I've got two heads. Okay, so she was in her 50s when she turned into a little girl, and she no longer ages. But like there was literally a throwaway line.
Yes.
By Carrie.
I missed it the first watch.
Yeah. I didn't catch it until the second watch, where she says, it's been 10 years. You'd figure, where are the peer reviews? Okay. So it was 10 years ago when superpowers or powers started showing up. So I'm curious if we are going to find out more about the like development of powers, and if something happened, if there was a reason, or if we're just gonna, if it's just gonna be something in the background.
I feel like they wouldn't have dropped that piece of information if they didn't plan to follow up on it somehow.
Right. I hope so. I'm just like, it almost sounds like one of those just auto fix lines.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, hey, we'll just toss in a line talking about, hey, how it happened 10 years ago, and that's why Angela, didn't get her power until she was in her 50s. And I was like, because, I mean, the first time, like, when we first watched it, I was like, wait, Angela didn't get a power till she was in her 50s, but everybody else gets their power, but, like, when they're 18 or whatever. And so, I mean, I caught it, don't get me wrong, but I caught it on my first watch. So just watching as a viewer and just enjoying the kind of the shock value of everything that's happening. And so I can't imagine that other people weren't like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So I like the fact that we're getting kind of a little bit of background on it. And I'm hoping that we get more as the time goes on.
I couldn't agree with you more.
That was a big part of it, is that I'm hoping to get more stories of how people got their powers. I did put a note that I needed to look up who Philip Schofield was. I've heard the name, but I really can't.
I have no idea who he is.
And then now we're getting a little bit more history. Like, we got a little bit of history on Jizzlord and his, so I like that we're kind of filling in the gaps. We did have, some humiliating moments, obviously. I mean, I feel like this show is just going to be about cringe comedy.
Okay, Philip Schofield is basically the Katie Couric of England.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, so a well-known TV personality, like Today Show equivalent.
Yeah, some morning show, yeah.
Right. I'm really enjoying kind of, again, back to just like, hey, introduction of new people and new powers. We got the new soundtrack power, which I thought it was hysterical
Oh my God.
And I didn't catch it the first time, but I guess I wouldn't have. But the fact that the dentist is called Melody Dental, and she creates her own the soundtracks for people.
Oh, I didn't catch the name joke. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was really, I was like, oh, Melody, that's really funny. That's well put together, because you wouldn't get it unless you're watching it, like you're remembering that, and you, or you watch it a second time.
I loved when the dentist was like, I can't listen to this. I'm giving you drugs.
Oh, my, I almost picked the porn music as my humiliation of the week. I mean, that was so funny.
Oh, so uncomfortable.
And the subtitles are awesome, because it's like, you know, I think it actually says like voice orgasms or something like that, and then I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard.
The 10-year thing really helps me with the dentist storyline, because when I, on the first watch, I was like, if you had that power, why would you become a dentist? Like everyone, everyone, but like lots of people fear the dentist. So this must happen to her all the time, that like people come in with like scary music. I'm like, why would you pick a career where that's going to happen to you all the time? But maybe she was already a dentist.
Yeah, I mean, just based on her age and, I mean, it is, like, she's like, I tell them to warn people when they walk in. I mean, I can't imagine you wouldn't have, like, earplugs or something ready to go for that, because that's had to have happened before.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jen had said fuck you to the receptionist right off the bat. So maybe the receptionist was like, happy surprise waiting for you. Fuck you, too, you know?
But, yeah, so I'm going to try to, my last point is I'm going to try to hit all the high points we haven't talked about that are my favorite parts, but mm-hmm. So just, you know, spoiler alert, my last point is the rest of the episode, but yeah. So my first was like the background that we're getting, and so what's your next point?
Let's talk about Jizzlord. Let's just go there.
Okay.
So there's a couple of different scenes him.
Just going to interrupt. Yeah. Is it not great that we're not having to refer to him as Cumbucket? Like, that's never going to leave my head. Let's talk about Cumbucket.
I'm happier with Jizzlord. So he changes outside Cash's door when Cash is like on his headphones trying to negotiate billboard prices or whatever. And he's like, I'm a man, not a cat. And then he starts scratching on the door just like a cat would. And I was cracking up so much. I love this actor. I love his hair. It's completely insane. And then he switches back to a cat, and Cash is like, you know, puts him in Jen's room and closes the door, because for whatever reason, Cash doesn't like this cat. And then he turns later, of course, when Jen is taking her selfies, her topless selfies. But do you remember at the beginning of the pandemic when we were all first like transitioning to being on Zoom all the time? And there was that lawyer who was going to like virtual Zoom court, and he had a kitty cat filter on. And this swept all over the internet, but for obvious reasons, I really picked up on it. He couldn't turn off the kitty cat filter on his Zoom account. And he's like, I'm ready to start anyway, to the judge. And the judge is like, and he's like, I'm an attorney. I'm not a cat. And I couldn't stop thinking about it, because Jizzlord was like, a man, not a cat. And I was like, just like that lawyer. And of course, you know, being a lawyer, like all of my lawyer friends just like loved that. We all loved it. And we were all like, we all need t-shirts that say, I'm an attorney, not a cat. And I'm like, I'd rather be a cat. And like, I still laugh when I think about that guy, because the particular filter that he was using, the kitty looks embarrassed. So it's like extra funny. It's like a kitten, and the kitten is like meek looking, and here's this attorney who's trying to like litigate in front of a judge, and it's like meow meow. It's like this little kitty face.
That's really funny.
That made me really happy to be reminded of that, and I really feel for this guy who's like, you know, he can't really remember who he was. He's been a cat for 3 years, which came as a surprise, and he doesn't remember his name. He doesn't remember where he's from. He remembers a football match that's from many years ago. And then I love that Jen is like, I brought him home. He's my responsibility. Like, they could have just like called the police and been like, there's this guy who doesn't remember who he is. Just take him.
Right.
But it's sweet that she wants to help him. I loved everything about that scene where they're like asking him questions and he's like, I don't know. Just like,
oh. Like, yeah, no, you're so one, you're right. Man, not cat, will stick in my head for a long time.
Because at one point he says cat, not man. No, man, not cat.
Like, yeah, it's hard. I'm a man. For him. I'm a cat, not a man. I'm a man, not a cat. I do have some notes about Jizzlord.
Awesome.
So I love his description of life. I was in child prison, school. Yes, school. And then I don't really like. It's like sadness, but money. You had a job. Yes. So school, job, something, something, Spurs beat Arsenal 4-2 at home, then cat. Something, something, now. I thought that the succinctness of that was awesome and very, very funny.
Oh, yeah. Sadness, but money?
yes,
that is that. My... That really describes most jobs,
right? but yeah, so I thought the actor was phenomenal at playing confused and really I don't know what's going on. And then when he hugs Cash and Cash is like doing almost like a 45 degree angle backwards.
Yeah.
But Jizzlord has a very hairy butt and legs, which
he does.
Mean, I have no idea how old the character is, but my guess would be like mid-20s, mid to high 20s maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Jizzlord was a very entertaining, aspect of this episode.
I'm excited to see more from him. He's just fantastic. And he's got that hair in all the promotional photos too. So we're going to get to keep seeing that hairstyle.
Yeah. He's also got it in like the interviews that I saw with him. It's just like, it's the swoop.
Yeah. There's just a lot of it. He needs, what's his name? Steve Harrison. No.
Oh yeah.
That's not the right last name. Steve,
it's Steve Harrington?
Harrington from Stranger Things.
Yeah, from Stranger Things.
Yeah, he needs some hair advice from Steve Harrington.
Yeah, like it's basically the same do. but much, I feel like Jizzlord's is more full than Steve's.
Yeah.
At least maybe that's just because it's all messy.
Yeah, but it's a little out of control.
Anything else on Jizzlord?
No.
Okay. So I am just going to make the highlight of one of my admirations for this episode was Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
We got so much good stuff from Carrie. Then Carrie, oh, I've got it. You are gonna hate it. okay, fuck me up then. And then, you know, the reveal that you probably have to promise not to run away. I'm not six. I'm not going to run away.
We have a runner.
Some of my favorite. Yeah. Some of my favorite lines from her are, "Who's a brave little bitch?"
Yeah. I'm a brave little bitch. And,
yeah. yes. I would like to have Plan D. Meet me at 6,900 hours. It's your dick, isn't it? Yeah, it's my dick. Initiate Plan D. I mean Plan B. I can't go to jail. Yeah, sure, I'd get ripped, have friends for life, but I wouldn't be able to explain the gap on my CV. Oh my God. For anybody who doesn't know what a CV is, that's your resume in Britain. I was like, your priorities are maybe a little bit mixed.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand how they like snuck into the impound lot.
Yeah, it seemed like rather unlocked. They just sort of walked in there. It seemed
like they just were like, oh, I'm going to hide behind this car. I'm not sure how you got into the lot, but like it didn't look like Carrie was going to climb over any fences in those shoes. But whatever. Yeah. All right, sure.
More great fashion. Carrie had a leopard bag that I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Carrie was just like, Andy's not a panto villain. She's not going to come by and say, well, well, well. And then Andy does exactly that. I mean, yeah. It's like, and you know, to be fair, in this episode, Andy was kind of a bitch. Like, yeah. I don't care if you're her, you know, you're her, or she's her sister who they both have like an enmity towards each other. Like, you're just being a bitch. And then, like, this isn't necessarily Carrie, but does Cash pay rent?
Unclear.
Because he's, like, trying to kick out Jizzlord, and he says, keep him out of my room. But, like, does Cash have a job? He's in his room all day looking for jobs, right, babe?
Yeah, he doesn't have a job, and now I loved when he was putting up he was writing up his billboard for, he wants vigilantes, and he's like, unpaid. Just very clear.
Yeah. My charity number is 24. yeah. Charity numbers don't work like that. But yeah, so I thought it was...
He's a good dancer, though.
I did think that the conversation between Carrie and Cash about the, what was a sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
Like favorite sandwiches, and he's like, but she's like, no, nah, but if what you're saying, carb on carb, no, that means that a croque monsieur is just a sandwich. And he's like, it is a sandwich. And she's like, shut the hell up, or something to that effect. And yeah. I was just like, man, like I really, really like Carrie. I thought she was great in this episode.
She really is. She's so charming.
I mean, and she's such a good friend.
Yeah.
Even if she maybe is a little misguided, although most of the bad ideas tend to come from Cash, I think.
Yeah. So when he showed up to put drugged up Jen in the trunk of the car, and he's like pretending to be an IRA terrorist, and Carrie's like, but why IRA? She's like, what are you doing? What, you know, and he's like, oh, to make it scarier. I'm a terrorist. She's like, but why IRA and not Al-Qaeda? And he's like, you're right. That would have made more sense. Like
that would have made more sense.
Like the IRA terrorism was like in the 90s. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, pop the boot for United Ireland. Like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, that was really... Like, come on, man. Like, I don't particularly care for Cash. Like, I found him the least interesting part of this episode. The parts with him, you know, arguing over the gloss, the fact that he's kind of a douche to Jizzlord.
Yeah.
That he's a moron, you know, leaving his... I don't have a license, but hey, I'm driving a car and I left it in a tow zone with my, you know, my girlfriend's best friend in the boot. And, by the way, so side note, we're going to sidebar this real quick. You understood that in other parts of the world, specifically Britain, they call the trunk of a car a boot, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what the hood of a car is called?
Oh, wait a minute. I know this. Because I have an English car. Why can't I remember?
All right, I'm just going to give you a couple more seconds so that it's not just dead time. But it's called a bonnet.
Bonnet! God, I knew that.
And so I didn't know that until maybe 2 weeks ago when a guy I work with was telling me a story about it. And I was like, why would they call it a bonnet? It doesn't make any sense. Blah, 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 right? And then the other day I was talking to the same guy and I was like, I don't really understood, because he was telling somebody else, like, oh, hey, you got to open your bonnet. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not wearing a hat. I'm not wearing a bonnet. What? And I was like, well, I mean, I guess if you were like, you're wearing a hoodie and you put your hood up. Oh, my God. Now I understand why bonnet and hood are the same thing.
Yeah.
Would be. So, anyway, so yeah, in sidebar. But I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so Cash was the one, he irritates me, and two, he was my least favorite part of this episode. All right. What's your next point?
The opening scene where they're trying to get her powers to show up by following the advice on this website. And Cash, for some reason, is the one in charge of the website, and they've discovered spicy food might work. And Jen looks with complete confidence at the waiter in this kebab house and says, I'll have the spiciest thing on the menu. And he just says, no, which killed me. And then she goes, I have a large bottle of sriracha mayo at home. I think I can handle some spice. And it reminded me of this time I was with a friend and we went to an Indian restaurant in Harvard Square. And I ordered whatever I was ordering. And my friend ordered what he was ordering. And then he goes, but I want it spicy. And I don't mean white person spicy. I want it to be Indian person spicy. And the look on the waiter's face was like, fuck you. And I was like so embarrassed. And then the waiter goes away. And I was like, I can't believe you said that. That is so rude and offensive. And my friend was like, well, you know, if I don't say it like that, they'll just bring me something that's like mild and I'll be unhappy. And I was like, you're being a giant douche. And so when they brought his food out, it was so spicy that like my eyes started watering like as they were walking from the kitchen. It was like ridiculous amounts of spice. And I was like, you're going to fucking eat it. Because that was fucking offensive. And this is your punishment. And he's like crying and sweating. So when the camera cut to Jen, like sweating, I was like, ha, 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 I've been there. That's so funny. That particular friend has become a lot less offensive over the years. We were in our 20s. So I got to give him some leeway for being a dumbass. I really enjoyed that moment. I enjoyed the waiter saying no, just no.
I can totally appreciate that. So this reminds me of Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm. There's a similar scene.
Yeah, where he's not like, it's not like, like Ted's not like, bring me the spiciest thing you have. He's just like, hey, bring me what you guys eat because I want to, you know, do this. I want to be one of your people. And he's like, are you sure? Oh no. Hey man, I can handle it. I'm good. And you know, he brings it to him. He's like, whoo, there's some spice to that.
Yeah.
And he's just so good natured about it. Like he's basically the opposite of what your friend was.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, okay. And then like, it was that was the episode where him and Trent, whatever the independent,
Trent Krim, the independent.
The article comes out where he talks about how impressed he is with him. Just he's doing this just to make people feel like he's wants to be accepted. He wants to make people feel, you know, happy with their themselves. And I was just like, this is basically like the bad version of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was so condescending to that guy. And I was like, oh, she's going to get punished. Like, it's going to be bad.
This was revenge hot. It was not. I mean, and that was a very white person's thing to say.
Yeah.
I have a bottle of sriracha mayo. I think I can handle something. I'm like,
no, you can't.
Oh, honey.
Oh, my God. And then, of course, she was right. Milk is the perfect thing to do. When you have a situation where you've had too much spice, water is a bad idea because it just spreads the oils around in your mouth and makes it worse. Milk, bread, crackers, and salt are your best options to counteract the spice. Just FYI, public service announcement.
Today on Home Remedies by Penny.
Like, literally.
If you have something real spicy.
Just put salt right on your tongue and it will help. Like,
It may not fix it, but it will help.
It will help. Only time will fix it, and probably some very uncomfortable moments in the loo. But
I thought that the makeup department on Jen did an excellent job showing an overheated, flushed face.
Yeah.
With just bright red spots and pale everywhere else. Oh, God. I thought it was. I mean, she's sweating, and it was just so funny to see.
I loved every moment of that. And then when she goes to the convenience store and she's like guzzling the milk and she runs into Luke, at first I was like, she's handling this pretty well. Like, it's a little bit embarrassing to run into Luke when you're in the middle of this moment, but she's being kind of funny. And she's like, no, I'm fine, whatever. And he's like, okay, see you later. And he walks off, and I'm like, hey, that didn't go so badly. That's only mildly humiliating until the sweaty young lady. I was like, oh no, I should have known it wasn't over.
Yeah, the moment you walk away, I'm totally kind of forget you were here. And I was just like, that's okay, sure, This was the least bad part of this, but yeah, then when she sees the camera and you just like the defeat on her face, she's like, yeah. Oh, oh no. That opening scene was another good one. It was, and I did enjoy the, these are things to make you have a baby, like go into labor. No, how dilated is your cervix?
Like Cash is, you're right. He's a moron.
He's
Carrie
so dumb. Like, Carrie, find
better.
Someone better, please. Please, honey, just find someone better. Or convince him to, like, the fact that she's supporting him in not being a productive member of society. It's frustrating. And I really, really hope that he either changes his ways or she finds someone better. So that was a good scene.
Yeah, really delightful.
Anything else for that point?
Nope.
Okay, so if we are going to hit your last point, then let me know, and I won't go into any, but this is just kind of like some, I'm going to cover my notes, but only because I don't really have a third point. In that I accept that I want to cover all of the stuff. All right, so
yeah, that was
the fact
almost
that,
my last note. Yeah.
Okay. So the fact that he's buying stuff for his vigilante uniform, Cash is really, and I imagine it's spending Carrie's money doing that. The fact that he has to borrow £300 to get the car out of Hawk. Or to replace whatever, I didn't particularly care for. So we talked pretty in detail about the dentist scene. Like I said, all of Cash's billboard talk irritated me, and like the very much I know more than I'm better at this. I did like the Plan D. I did think that Plan D was a funny addition. And
that Carrie was so into it. She was like, yeah, I'll have some Plan D.
Yeah, yes. I will accept Plan D. Jin comes out of the dentist and she's like, I've had my power the whole time. It's the power of friendship. And she's like, she's had a Valium. that was a pretty good line. All right, so I'm going to... Oh, the tow truck operator? That'd be a convenient... Super strength, it'd be a convenient thing for a tow truck operator to have. Just pick up a car and set it onto a tow truck.
Did you notice that the no parking sign showed a silhouette of a person holding a car over their head?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
So you're warned, a person's going to come and literally pick up your car.
Yeah, this company is going to pick up your car. It's not going to take a ton of time. They're not going to have a bunch of like flashing lights and stuff like that. The fact that Jen was singing I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Oh, I thought it was Only Fools Rush In. Oh, that's the same song.
Well, yeah, it's the same song. So, Only Fools Rush In and I can't help falling in love with you. Yes, I finished it. To me, that's UB40. I know that it was done well before that, and that was a remake, but that's the song that I can only imagine that's the one that Jen was familiar with. Mm-hmm. Seriously, Carrie's jail line really made me laugh. The fact that Cash couldn't, he was like, oh, I'm going to take this board, I'm going to open the boot, and he smacks himself in the head with it.
Yeah.
I was just like, come on, man.
Cash is generally kind of useless, but he is, game. They're like, we're going to do a crazy thing. And he's like, I can help.
I can help. I'm going to suck, but I can be a part of this. And then so I'm just going to talk about the title of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Bullets. Because they couldn't call it Magic Tits.
Yeah.
I was like, Magic Bullets, what does this even mean? And then the fact that it took me till my second watch when I was turning it on. It was like, oh, Magic Bullets. Got it.
Yeah.
I just can't, you can't call an episode Magic Tits in this day and age. that was really funny.
I love that when she found out that she didn't turn a cat into a man in the form of Jizz Lord, that she was like, do you think my power could still be tit-based?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're pretty powerful. Well, the right one's more powerful. That was... that. Carrie is so supportive, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I love her. She's the kind of friend you need to have. Yeah.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
And then I'm just going to talk about the tag.
Oh, yeah.
When she flashes the dog and... The owner walks around the corner, she kind of has a look of horror on her face, but then she straight up fucking owns it.
Yeah.
And she's just like, had to make sure. And the guy's like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. I just saw some tits and
that's fine with me.
All right. Yep. All right. I'll just go ahead and put that in the spank bank and move on. And I thought, the dog is just staring at her and you're like,
yeah,
all right. But cool.
I mean, she did have to just check. I get it. I don't know if I would have flashed a dog, but
someone on the street. Yeah. Or a dog on the street. Like, well,
I might have tried a more controlled experiment, but Jen's very impulsive.
I mean, hey, we got to go to the, what did she say? We got to go to the pound. We should go to the pound to check it out. If I could turn a bunch of cats into men with my tits.
So I don't know. Did you notice in that scene when she's walking before she sees the dog and turns around, she's walking past, a wall that's covered with posters and stuff like city walls are. And there were posters that said end brain trespass now and end brain squatting now. And I was like, oh, is there an anti-powers movement? Remember last week I was like, what an invasion of privacy it is to force someone to tell the truth during an interview or her stepfather and the emotions thing.
Yep.
I was like, oh, there are people who don't like having their minds read. That's interesting. And then below it were a whole bunch of looking for vigilante posters that I assume were cats.
So I almost paused on that because I did see a bunch of signs. But that reminds me of something else that I will talk about in a minute. But no, I did not. I almost paused, and then I don't know that I would have picked up on the anti having mind read and stuff like that. But that's a really good point.
I hope it pays off later, because that interests me a lot more than, you know, just like seeing her try to get powers for a long time. I'm like, you know, who are those people?
That's great. That's great. More world building, like seeing stuff in the background like that, that even that you have to like pause in order to read it. But when Carrie and Cash walk around the corner after they realize that Jen has been towed, they turn the corner and there's a guy standing on like up against a wall and his face is pixelated.
Yeah. I was like, is that his power? That's hilarious.
Yeah. I was like, is that like kind of like invisible bandit that like robbed them last episode? Like he can choose to have a pixelated face where you can't, except that if he's always pixelated, you know who he is, 'cause you can always just see that he's pixelated.
Yeah.
Like that'd be a very difficult thing to like. I mean, I guess you could still like have intimate moments with that person, but it'd just be weird to be like at the house and your face is pixelated.
Yeah,
I just don't like. I thought that was an odd, you know, quote unquote power to have if that's what it was.
Useless.
I imagine that was similar. Yeah, very useless. I imagine it was similar to the dude that had the smoke coming out of his head last week.
Yeah.
That you're just like seeing things in the background, like, oh, this is a type of power and shit like that. Those are the only ones that I saw were the soundtrack dentist and the pixelated head. Those are the only new two powers that I saw.
I think you're right about that. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, I'm totally into learning more about like the world and not just the microcosm of Jen's life.
Yeah. She's interesting. Her friends are interesting, but like, I hope that as we go through the season that we're going to get some more depth into the world that we're in, because it's a funny world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do wonder if it ends on a cliffhanger, which is why they announced that season two was coming.
Oh.
Like basically before the show came out.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out in a few weeks.
Yeah, in like 5 more weeks. 5, 10,
7.
Like
it's 9 episodes total.
Nine episodes, that's right. Is it 9? I thought it might be 10. We'll figure it out.
We will figure it out. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, that was it for my last point.
Me too. That was my last point. Just that they're trying to use adrenaline to get Jen to realize her power. That's how they end up taking her to the dentist, because she's afraid of the dentist. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. In that case, there's more to come. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Back. So we are going direct because of news. We'll cover news, you know, at a later show or whatever, but since all of it's basically spoilery, we're gonna move directly into listener feedback. All right, so we have a voicemail from Mr. Steve Brown for episode 1.
Hold on to your hats.
Hello, Greg and Vinny. This is Steve. And I just started watching Extraordinary, and it's kind of interesting, but I just heard the guy call the woman, I guess she's going to call up this guy's ghost, and he called her Miss Jackson, and my brain immediately went to Janet, if you're nasty. So I guess everybody in this world has a superpower, but this gal doesn't, and she just got a free cat. This gal just channeled Adolf Hitler, and she's done it, I guess, a few times before. Khakis were ruined. No, is the cat going to touch him and the cat's going to... When he turns back time, does he turn back time just for himself and like the surrounding area or the whole world? I don't know. Dude, that was so crummy. Didn't tell her, just bears. That's how you're going to die. Bears. Oh, Bingit. I remember Bingit. I still Bingit sometimes. Aw. But that's nice of a friend. Don't let her talk to her dad. I figured the cat was something, a shapeshifter or something like that, but it seems he can't control it, maybe.
Thanks, Steve. Obviously, that was about episode one.
Yeah, that was actually a really good point about the whole Cash turning back time. I think it's probably just in regards to him. Although he did, you know, she did talk about him kind of turning it back as far as he could so she could stop by Pret. Yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, the jizz lord touching the cat was so
touching
so
the
funny.
Orgasm Ernie guy, was, yeah.
Yeah, touching the guy. That was such a great moment.
Oh God.
But all right, so that was Steve's voicemail for episode one, and then now we have one for episode two.
This is episode, I just started episode two, and her face, oh my goodness, the spiciest thing. Okay, so what happened 10 years ago that started all this? Hey, is this plan B a fake kidnapping, or is this a real kidnap? Oh, I guess it is the plan. The tow truck driver has strength, so he just lifts the car up and puts it on the back of the truck. And he calls herself a hero. She just hooked a trunk lid, like, over a wall. Incredibly awkward car ride now after the voicemail stuff. I don't think you have matching tits. Sorry. Read texts on TV. They either go by too fast or I don't pause it fast enough and I don't care to go back. So I don't know what the text she read said right here at the end. All right. Talk to you later. Oh, this was Steve, by the way. I don't think I introduced myself at the beginning. And hello, Extraordinary Cast. Is that what you're calling the podcast?
It's the Extraordinary Cast.
It is, in fact, the Extraordinary Cast.
But, Steve, we love hearing from you, so thank you and keep it coming. I can't believe you picked up on the 10-year thing on your first watch. That's perceptive.
Yeah, you're better than I was.
Yep.
And, you know, I didn't even think about it. Like, Andy called herself a superhero, a hero, but she did chuck that, like that roof or that hood or that boot cover or whatever, like over buildings,
like
probably
God
into
only
someone's
knows.
House.
Yeah. God knows what it landed on or who. Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't like a bullet that was very relatively small that might land, you know, that could go through someone's house or window or whatever. So I would really kind of hesitate to call yourself a hero when you do dumb shit like that.
Yeah. It's like at the party when she like ripped the door off the refrigerator and Jen is like, are we not going to destroy the fridge? Okay, we're not going to talk about it.
Oh, we're just not going to talk about the fact that she just destroyed the fridge. Is that no? Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But thank you very much, Steve. We appreciate it. It's obviously always glad to hear from you. We did have one piece of Facebook. Of feedback from Facebook. Penny?
Yeah. David Gardner says, this show is a lot of fun. It was fun to see some of the uselessness of the powers for certain people. And
I agree. And I imagine that we're going to see a few more of those relatively useless ones.
Yeah.
Before the show is over. We are more than happy to have any feedback and we'll read your stuff on the podcast. And I'm tempted to tell my show, but my son about the show, but I really don't want for my 16-year-old to have to, you know, discuss, cum buckets and, was it cum bucket? Yeah. Cum buckets. I know he knows what that stuff is, but, I don't really want to talk to him about it. So maybe I won't, but, yeah, thank you everybody, and please send in feedback, and we'll put it out there for the the 30 people who have listened to the show to listen to. But all right, well, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We really enjoying doing this.
Yeah, and if you'd like to get in touch or find out more about Podcastica, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
You can write in. Or leave a voice message right there on podcastica.com, or you can find links to our social media pages and other shows.
And there are a lot of other shows.
You are on Poker Face right now, right?
Yeah, I am. And we recorded... Murder Magnets?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the podcast is called Murder Magnets, and we're covering this show, Poker Face, that's on Peacock, starring Natasha Lyonne, and it's sort of a case of the week with also an overarching story for the whole season, and it's really funny. It's clever and funny, and it has this incredible list of guest stars that are total A-listers. So far, we've seen Lil Rel Howery, Danielle McDonald, Adrian Brody, Dasha Polanco, who's from Orange is the New Black with Natasha Lyonne, Chloe Sevigny. The lead singer of the Mountain Goats was on this last episode. It's like every week is like new stars.
Did see like Judith Light was
Judith
on?
Light is the next episode from, we're going to cover. Yeah.
Okay. From like Who's the Boss?
Yeah. And I don't remember the actor's name, but the guy who played Howard Wolowitz on Big Bang Theory was also in this next episode.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. Also coming out soon will be Cast of the Rings episode where we cover the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, and we'll be doing Return of the King in about a month. So Cast of the Rings is alive and well.
So I totally meant to leave feedback for the Two Towers, but the whenever I hear about the Two Towers or hear it mentioned, all I can think of, and if you haven't heard this, do yourself a favor and go Google Lego Lord of the Rings Disco File, P-H-I-A-L, and it is my favorite techno song, and is literally just a bunch of quotes from the Two Towers to techno music, and it's like a special moment in the Lego game, but it is phenomenal. It's on repeat for like, I think it's only about 45 seconds or so. But it is fantastic. You guys should go listen to it. It is a lot of fun.
I will definitely check that out. That sounds awesome. And if you like what we do, hit like, follow, and subscribe. It really helps other listeners find us. So we really like those subscriptions and downloads.
Yeah, it makes us go, hey, people are actually paying attention. I know that I said I don't really care about listenership, but I mean, if you pass on the podcast or pass on the show or whatever, at least we're on season two, and I'm looking forward to that. But next time on this particular show, we'll be covering season one, episode three, Dead End Job. So I don't know if that's maybe Jen's job or maybe Cash gets an actual job, but I doubt it.
So Greg, who's a brave little bitch?
Oh, I am a brave little bitch. We'll be right back.